I'm Don Fierstead on 96.9, and you are listening to KDLO Outdoors. Well, now we head up to Day County. Biologist Brian Blackwell on the phone. And I guess, first of all, this time of the year you do your test netting. Have you completed any other lakes?
Yeah, well, last week we were on Wall Bay and completed that. And Wall Bay looks very similar to what it has the last few years. You know, walleyes are fair, 14 all the way up to, we had some fish pushing that 28-inch bracket. So, you know, good mix of fish sizes, but majority of them are going to be that 14 to 16, 17 inches. Perch numbers are very similar to what they have been in the past, maybe a little bit lower, but still should provide a, you know, a decent winter fishery. So, you know, Wall Bay continues to chug along, looking pretty similar to what it has. The other one we were on was Lardy. Good numbers of walleyes in there, as well as lots of little perch. That the, appears that the walleyes are probably feeding on pretty good because they're in pretty good shape. But the problem with Lardy is there's very poor access to it right now, so it might be just a winter fishery for a while. This week we are up on cattail kettle, as well as we did East Krause. East Krause, very few walleyes in that right now. We got a few fish over 20 inches, but not very many. Some smaller perch in there as well, and lots of little carp. Up on cattail, it looks very similar to what it has the last few years. You know, a low to moderate walleye abundance and a fair number of smaller perch in that system.
I can remember East Krause maybe 20 years ago ice fishing it in a lot of those 3 to 4.5 pound sawguys. Is anything ever done anymore with sawguys?
Actually, yeah, we got back into the sawguy business this year. We made some sawguys at Blue Dog, and those fish are in some rearing ponds again, as well as we stock some directly in the Richmond Mina as well as Elm Lake. So we're trying the sawguys again because we've had some poor survival with walleyes on those three waters, those reservoirs over to the west. Sawguys worked really good back in the, you know, like you say, 15, 20 years ago. So we're giving them a try again this year.
No, they don't reproduce though, right? Is that correct?
Well, they're not supposed to, but there's been some documented reproduction out of them, like about 4% of them may reproduce. They still have the gametes, and, you know, they do produce eggs, but those eggs typically are not viable.
As far as fishing, Bitter and Wabe 1 and 2?
Yeah, I would say those are your top walleye lakes right now. Bitter is still drawing most of the people. From the sounds of it, you know, the walleyes are, you know, starting to look a little healthier than they have in the past. We'll be going there, I think, in about 2 weeks to do our netting survey, so hopefully we do, you know, see some improvement on those growth rates down there. That would definitely help things out. So, yeah, people are still going to the Bitter, and then Wabe, probably not as good as a bite as Wabe's had in the last few weeks, but they're still catching a few fish on Wabe right now.
Bluegill still going on enemy?
Yeah, there's still, you know, a decent bite for bluegill. Sounds like the crappie bite has really slowed down up there, but they're still catching a few bluegills, you know, as well as a few other fish mixed in. Typical enemy swim, you're going to catch, you know, some smallmouth, maybe a largemouth, some little perch, a few walleyes mixed in as well. So overall, you know, I'd say it's a, you know, a good bite to take to go because you're going to catch a good variety of fish.
Will pickerel be any type of a lake you could try to target some perch this fall or winter?
Yeah, the perch numbers were decent when we surveyed it earlier this year in pickerel. They're not going to be the biggest perch. They're going to be, you know, a lot of the 8 to 10, maybe 11-inch perch. But, yeah, you know, pickerel for the last few years has had a decent perch bite over in the winter, and, yeah, I would expect it to be pretty fair again this winter.
Brian Blackwell, biologist out of Webster, South Dakota, thank you. Well, now we head up to Big Stone Lake on the South Dakota side, talking to Don at Schmidt's Landing. And over the weekend or up to last night, are people, any fishing pressure going out chasing the perch and maybe walleyes?
Definitely a perch bite still happening on Big Stone. And last weekend, there was an abundance of fishermen out there, and they were bringing in their limits of 15 perch, nice quality fish. Also still seeing occasional bluegill, crappie. Walleyes are still few and far between. Once in a while, somebody will go out and target the walleyes. They'll work hard, you know, trolling, pulling a bottom out their spinner or pulling a crankbait, and they might be able to put together 3 or 4 fish in a day's time. But the easy bite right now is the perch. Of course, as Monday hit, the traffic really slowed down on the lake. With schools starting in the area, with the warmer temperatures, not really energizing that bite, it's been slower during the week. So if you want to get out there, spend some time on the water, don't have to worry about a lot of other boats, weekdays are definitely the time to do it.
What would be some of the areas they might try for perch fishermen?
A lot of Big Stone's traditional spots are still kicking out fish. We see boats on the Grapevine just to the southeast of us, that Bayview area, definitely the Windmill Reef and around Kramer's Resort. We've heard a lot about the Hartford Flats and over at Mallard Point, and then going a little north towards Sodak Park and up in that direction. There's a lot of spots. You just have to move around and kind of find them. Once you do get on them, you'll definitely be happy with what you catch.
Well, Donna at Schmidt's Landing on Big Stone Lake, thank you.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Now we travel down to the Brookings Game Fish and Parks offices. Biologist Dave Lucchese, and Dave works out of Brookings and Sioux Falls. And I guess fishing starting right in the Brookings area, anything going on?
Well, Lake Sinai is still continuing to produce crappies and some perch and a mix of other species. We were out there on Sunday and Sunday afternoon, and parking lot was full, and people were fishing really all over the lake. There's a group of people that are fishing just 100 yards off the dock or less, and catching fish out there. And then the west side over by Reinhardt, what they call Reinhardt's Point, the west end of the lake. There's a couple of points that extend out there in the 25 feet of water, and fishing anywhere from 15 to 20 feet off that point. Just slip bobber and a minnow seemed to work best for us. They had a hard time. They didn't seem to want anything jigged, I'd say it slowed down a little bit from a couple weeks ago, but it's still pretty good fishing, and the crappies are getting bigger. A lot of them are 9.5 to 10.5 inches long, so a good place to try. The Oakwoods both have been really quiet lately, nothing really going there. Lake Thompson, I think, has slowed down some. It's hit and miss, but talked to a guy that was out there on Sunday and said they didn't really find the walleyes. They said they ended up back up in Schaefer's Flat pulling plugs in 3-4 feet of water, and they said they caught some monster white bass doing that. So that was, I guess that was fun, but kind of spotty there. Same with West Highway 81 Lake. Talked to some guys that were out there fishing, giving the perch and walleye a try, and they caught a perch or two, a lot of little white bass, I think a few dink walleyes, but not a lot of action out there right now. I guess we're still getting some reports that if you go out on Lake Madison, you can catch some smaller walleyes and a few perch in the mix. So they're still picking up some fish there, but Brant and Herman have been pretty quiet. I think a few white bass, a few smallmouth bass on Brant, but not much of a report there. And then right around Sioux Falls, I guess they're starting to pick up some perch on Scott Lake. Most of the fish aren't that big, but they're starting to catch some perch on Scott Lake by Hartford there. And not much of a report on the Big Sioux, Lake Alvin, small sunfish, right around there. So that's pretty much fishing around the region right now.
Have you talked to any of the guys that's been out doing the survey work on brood count for pheasants, or heard any feedback?
You know, it's been amazingly quiet. I really have not heard anything since pretty much the start. You know, I heard of one or two good brood counts right at the beginning, but we haven't received any numbers yet, and the people that are doing the counts haven't heard much from them. One thing I'll say about fisheries, we should have our survey graphs for 2016 up on our website, the Southeast Lakes website. our web page, I should say, within the Game Fish and Parks website here. As soon as our INE folks get them up, I would say they'll be up within a week there. So you can see which lakes produced the best numbers and the biggest walleyes, perch, white bass, largemouth, smallmouth, crappies, et cetera, here pretty soon.
Well, Dave Lucchese out of Brookings and Sioux Falls with the Game Fish and Parks, thank you. Stay with us. There's more KDLO Outdoors. Now we travel up to the Watertown offices of Game Fish and Parks and talking to Bryce McVicker, conservation officer and boating coordinator. And a quick little plug for your Sports Fest coming up.
Yeah, we've got Sports Fest coming up. It's the second Saturday in September, and it's open to ages 8 to 14. Starts Saturday morning around 8:30 with sign-in, and we'll be done around 3. But kids can come to the Watertown office and sign up. And the event will consist of archery shooting, shotgun shooting, muzzleloader shooting, 22s, all kinds of different outdoor events for the kids. So it's a great time. We limit the event to 225 kids, and we're probably about halfway there as we speak right now. So we've got lots of kids signing up and looking to fill the rest of those spots.
Well, I know around here as far as fishing, the fishing pressure might be down. I hear of a lot of small fish on plugs out of Kempeska, crappies, a perch, and walleyes, not a lot of keepers. Area lakes, of any of them very consistent at all?
I think you can go a lot of different places and catch some fish, but I think it's really hard to go anywhere and catch a pretty easy limit. This August is probably more like a traditional August should be. The last two or three Augusts, we've been spoiled with fish bites like Dry Lake Number 2 over in Clark, where the fishing a couple years ago in August was so good. But this year, it's been a little bit tougher, and that's really attributing to not having near as many fishermen out there, I think, because you can't just go out and catch a limit on any given day. But yeah, like you said, Kempeska, you can go out there and get a little bit of action, catch some smaller fish, sort through them long enough to get some keepers. Ponset, there's still a lot of boat traffic down there. Everybody's just kind of waiting for that perch bite to take off, and so far it's been pretty slow, but we're hoping as we move into the fall here that picks up.
Anything standing out over in Clark, maybe just Indian Springs?
Yeah, Indian Springs and Dry Lake Number 2. Dry Lake Number 2 has probably been a little bit better. There is some more perch mixed in with that walleye bite on Dry 2 than there is on Indian Springs.
Well, Bryce McVicker out of the Watertown Game Fish and Parks office, thank you. Well, now on the phone we have Todd West with the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation. And tell us, first of all, when it is and where it is.
It is August 27th at 2nd Street Station. The doors will open at 5 p.m.
Now, how about as far as ticket price and availability? Most places in town have them?
No, we don't have tickets around town. There's various committee members and stuff, but otherwise they can go online to rmef.org. And click on Attend a Banquet and get it through there. Or they can call, my home phone is 605-882-4581.
And how about as far as price for tickets?
It's $70 for a couple for membership and meals, $50 for a single. If they're already a current member and want to come to the banquet, it's a $20 meal.
As far as the habitat now, that's really a critical thing, and I know the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, that's really an important goal, is to help that out.
Yeah, it is. The Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, at the national level, has either conserved or preserved or enhanced almost 7 million acres now since their organization, which is like 27, 28 years, something like that there, that they were first initially started. So they've done a lot over the years, doing a lot in the hills. Also right now, we have, you know, people come to the banquets, and if they wonder what the money goes for, there's a lot of that money that they spend at our banquets that comes right back to South Dakota. At least $80,000 or more this year just in different grants and PAC monies and stuff that comes back, and a lot of it is to do with either, you know, prescribed burns, BLM fence removal. We have a cow elk survey that the RMEF is funding this year.
Well, again, where it is and when it is.
2nd Street Station, August 27th, 5 p.m., the doors open. If you don't have a ticket before then, you can come. Otherwise, if you want to get a ticket ahead of time, give me a call, Todd West, at 605-882-4581.
Well, now on the phone we have Steve Donovan with Ducks Unlimited. And, Steve, kind of a neat thing. You know, a lot of people across the nation, millions of people put in the Ducks Unlimited, and they conserve things for a lot more than just waterfall. But you have a land dedication coming up at Swan Lake. That's right up north and west of Watertown and Wallace, right in the northern corner, I think, of Clark County. Tell us about what it is and when it is.
Sure, you bet. The Engstrom property was acquired by Ducks Unlimited back in 2012. It's a 240-acre property right on the south side of Swan Lake Game Production Area, which, as you said, it's in the very northeast corner of Clark County, right near the corners of Highways 20 and 25. It's a really neat property. It has some great opportunity to restore a few wetlands, which we plan on doing this fall. And also, we started the project this spring, and we'll finish next spring, restoring over 100 acres of really nice upland habitat that will be great nesting cover for ducks and pheasants. And recently, just a few weeks ago, we were able to transfer that property to South Dakota Game Fish and Parks as an addition to the Swan Lake Game Production Area. And so now it'll be in public ownership and available for public access in perpetuity.
And when and where will it be at the property, the dedication, and this Saturday when?
Yes, this Saturday we have a small dedication plan for a number of Minnesota and Iowa major donors who have contributed to the Prairie Pothole program we have here in South Dakota. As you said, people all over the country support Ducks Unlimited, and they know that the prairies, North Dakota, South Dakota, the Prairie Provinces of Canada are where most of our ducks come from, and so we get a lot of support. So we're having a small dedication, we have a cairn recognizing the donations from these Minnesota and Iowa donors, and we'll be doing that at 2 o'clock on site. The public is certainly welcome to find it. You simply go 1 mile west from the corners of Highway 20 and Highway 25, and then turn north. Follow the Prairie Trail right up to the dedication site.
Now, will there be more happening in a couple years from now when DU tries to complete a lot of work?
There will be. This is our official Rescue Our Wetlands campaign project in South Dakota, and the Rescue Our Wetlands campaign is a $2 billion fundraising campaign by Ducks Unlimited to restore and protect important waterfowl habitats throughout North America. It's the largest wetlands and waterfowl capital campaign program in the history of our planet. And this project is our official Rescue Our Wetlands project in South Dakota. And so at the completion of the campaign in late 2018 or early 2019, we'll have a very large dedication out there, and we'll invite the public, and it'll be our way of recognizing all the donors and supporters and thanking them for all of the generous support that they have given to our, not only our projects in South Dakota, but throughout North America.
Steve Donovan with Ducks Unlimited, thank you. Now we head out to Carl's Bait in the Pier Fort Pier area, Deputy Dan Miller. And up above, weather permitting, has there been much fishing pressure for salmon?
Well, we've had some northwest winds the last couple of days. One day was real windy, blew everybody off, but that brings those nutrients to around the face of the dam. Of course, the bait fish relate to them, and the salmon and other game fish are right there. Hell, one guy caught walleyes at 93 feet up there.
Wow. That isn't prescribed normally.
No, but the whole thing has changed since they put the herring in, you know, after the 2011 flood.
How about as far as walleyes down below?
Well, that's been very good. Been kind of our ace in the hole along with the catfish. Catfish can be caught, you know, in the immediate area below the dam, tail race and so on. But the walleyes, anywhere is actually from the Bad River all the way down to Fort George. It's about a 15-mile stretch. Most of the guide boats are in the Antelope Creek area, but you can get away from the crowds and still do very well without much pressure.
Well, Deputy Dan Miller at Carl's Bait in Fort Pierre, thank you. This has been Don Fierstead with KDLO Outdoors. Listen each and every Thursday for all your hunting and fishing information throughout eastern South Dakota, western Minnesota, and out at the Missouri River. KDLO Outdoors, each and every Thursday.